This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, Rehab Up. My name is Maggie Morgan, and we are here to talk about Season 2, Episode 19, Cinco de Mayhem. What an exciting name of an episode from
That's
the Bravo
so funny.
Producers. With me today is the amazing, the absolutely astonishing, the out of this world, one of a kind, Mr. Jacob Jones. How are you today, Jacob?
I'm good. I'm fueling up on some oatmeal currently, apple cinnamon with a dab, more than a dab of honey, and my pink mm-hmm. solo cup, because I just didn't feel like it is what it is. And
This is the day today, for sure.
Yes. And so, but this episode, though, is going to be so fun.
Oh my God, this episode was so amazing. I texted Jacob this morning and was like, I'm literally so excited to talk about this. We got a cute tweet from our friend Mel at Melly Bish. She said that Mondays are the worst because it's the day after Real Housewives of Salt Lake City and she still has to wait one day before she gets to hear us. Thank you, Mel. That made my whole day.
Cute.
I hope we don't disappoint.
I audibly smiled and laughed when I saw that. It was so funny.
I know. Cute. It was really sweet of Mel. I wanted to give her a little shout out. But we had so much fun last week with Evie. Like, Evie really crushed it.
No.
Like, they came on, they came with the takes, they came with the humor, they came with the survivor strategy.
They came with everything. And I really like the fact that they are actual fans of the show. Like, it's not like they watched, this episode and was like, oh, okay. But they had, like, opinions. And they watched Potomac, which I'm like, if you watch Potomac, you know what, like, a housewife franchise should be. You know, And so,
it was really good. Cameron said today.
What?
So I FaceTimed Cameron, podcast guest, several weeks back, mm-hmm. now almost 10 episodes ago. I FaceTimed Cameron to talk about the episode, and he said that Whitney is just like, he feels just like Ashley from Potomac.
I can see the same vibes, same
energy. And I was like, you know what? That makes sense. Because after this episode, let me tell you, Whitney is a shit stirrer. Her only storyline is to like point blank to someone's face, be like, this is the rumor that I heard about you. Like, it took me a minute to figure out why these girls like aren't into Whitney. And I feel like Chantal, when she was here, really sort of like gave us good perspective. But the way that like you can't say anything to Whitney in confidence because she's just going to go right to the person and be like, is this true? And like usually Whitney's the one who gets screamed at about it.
Mm-hmm. As she should.
Like, for sure. I mean, yeah, because it's low-key inappropriate to do the way that she does it. Like, it's sort of
especially the preview for next week's episode. Maggie, first off, this episode was exciting, but this episode also pissed me the off to numerous levels where I was watching it annoyed and but still entertained, but still like ladies,
I was cackling.
See, it was this episode. What? Because I stand the people that I stand. Okay,
exactly.
I think the people that I stand were like on the opposition, and even though they still held their own, and I loved every minute of it. They did not back down. I do think I have some bias because how much I enjoy Meredith and how much I stand Meredith and how much Mary has brought so much to the show, and I like Mary. And so seeing all of this shit happen and done to them, every conversation, even when they weren't even with the other ladies were still talking about them. And I'm like, get a hobby, get a job, sell some more Vita tequila. Whitney, you sell some more products, get out of whatever financial situation you're in. Heather, you can go. You can go, Heather.
Oh my God, are you kidding? I thought Heather this episode was really funny.
Okay,
well, no. We'll get there, but you're right. So you stan, obviously, Meredith, but I feel like Meredith held her own. And honestly, like, I texted you and was like, wow, Lisa on the hot mic will forever be iconic. And you were like, don't throw around this iconic word. But what I will say about that is...
Can we say infamous?
Yes, infamous. You're right. Okay, great. Infamous. But I also do think that, like, that was a friendship ender. That fully ended their friendship forever. Their friendship will never be the same after catching that on the hot mic. Because
and can you tell me what a hot mic is?
So a hot mic is when the door is closed and the mic is still on, but the housewife doesn't really know that they're still being recorded. Like, there was no camera on her. So can we not call it a hot mic?
No, can we not call it a hot mic then? Because she clarified. I feel like we're precursing the last part of the episode. Should we just hop into the episode and just pause that conversation for when we get to it? Okay, yes.
For sure. I do want to say, though, to start with, not full tea time, but I do want to start with the fact that Miss Jenny Nguyen has been fired from the Housewives franchise. We got a statement from Bravo, which was about 8 days too late, if you ask me. Yes.
And doesn't that seem like so long ago?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Like, so much has happened since then, just like with the reunion, with everything. Hold on. I'm trying to look so that I can get the exact wording of the... Of this statement from Bravo. But so then after Bravo like said that they were no longer affiliated with her, Jenny went on an Instagram live with one of her black friends and had them sit next to her. And it was just really, really bad and not good at all. And just,
I'm just like, check your purse,
yes,
check your wallet, and read the room. Read the climate of the world. Read the statement that you have put out there, and not your social media manager, you nimwit.
Okay, so this is the Bravo statement. Bravo has ceased filming with Jenny Nguyen, and she will no longer be a cast member of The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. We recognize we failed to take appropriate action once her offensive social media posts were brought to our attention. Moving forward, we will work to improve our process to ensure we make better informed and more thoughtful casting decisions. And I'm glad that they brought up the casting thing, because as Evie said last week, like, this is just so totally Bravo's fault that they did not vet her the way that they properly should have.
Absolutely. And Evie said that, I was thinking, because I don't know if I said this or not, but I could imagine the people that brought on Jenny, they're probably, because probably on some housewife shows, predominantly when it's a predominant white cast, they want to see, like, you know, especially with the social climate that we are in, they want to see what statements have you put out, you know, things to like not get you canceled and different things like that. And the fact that she was a person of color, I imagine that they were probably more lax, like, oh, she's a person of color, you know, we're not going to look for all that information, you know what I mean? Just to give her the benefit of the doubt. Okay, we're pretty sure she's not going to say any of this stuff. And so I think that had to do with the lack thereof, and they saw what the hell happened. So
exactly. Okay, so let's get into the episode. Let's jump in. So we start off basically with Heather and Meredith debriefing the night before, which was basically them being completely wasted, drinking out of serving dishes. Like, we see a little clip of Meredith kissing Whitney on the mouth. Like,
that was hot.
And they're just like talking about, they're just talking about what happened. So basically the women split off into three groups today. Jen and Whitney go ATVing. Heather and Lisa go horseback riding, and Meredith, Mary, and Jenny all go to the spa. So the first sequence that we see basically is Heather and Lisa. They're going horseback riding. They get on their horses. They're not wearing helmets, which was one thing I noted because I was like, oh, you could fall off the horse and really hurt yourself.
Well, I rode a horse back in like a couple months ago and I didn't wear a helmet.
Oh my gosh, Jacob. What if you get bucked off your horse?
That would have been hot, right?
For me, okay?
That would be hot, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not if you got a close head injury.
Me getting bucked off a horse.
All right. So basically, after they finish riding the horses, which Heather does make that joke. She says that so all her and Lisa needed to get along was a stallion between their legs.
That was funny.
Like, Heather's one-liners in her confessionals are pretty funny.
No.
You just laughed at that. That's something she said verbatim, Jacob.
I know, but ew, I don't want to laugh. You said it. That's why it made me laugh, not because Heather said it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So Heather and Lisa basically are just talking about Meredith. And Lisa is talking about the fact that Meredith hasn't been showing up for her at all. And I wrote this in my notes and I said, I feel like low-key, this conversation like really emboldened Lisa for the rest of this trip. Like, she came back from this conversation and was like, Heather hates me. And even Heather can see that Meredith doesn't have my back. So like, yeah, I do always have Meredith's back and it's not always reciprocated. And I feel like this really riled her up to make her be like, screw you, Meredith, going into the night already. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I would say. And I was like, and this conversation pissed me off from the get-go, wherever the hell you say the word. Because mm-hmm. I'm like, Whitney, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to cause friction between that friendship? Because even Lisa, she feels like no one has backed her up in the group, and they were basically bonding over Meredith not being there for Lisa. And I'm like, Heather, what the Heather, right? No, Whitney.
It was Heather.
I'm like, Heather, what the hell? You was just beefing up with this girl not too long ago, and now you want to hate bond over Meredith. Well, Meredith haven't done anything to you, and so why
did Meredith do to Heather?
Like, I'm getting a little rowdy talking about my girl Meredith.
I got my girl back.
But I'm just thinking,
you
like,
have the stand card.
Yes, I'm just like, what? Like, why is this a conversation? And Lisa, you said you've had Meredith's back. Okay. But like, in what aspect of this show, anytime I've watched the show, I have not seen Meredith not, and like, in a sense, like not having Lisa's back when it comes to like big drama that Lisa's in. And honestly, all the drama that Lisa has been in on the show has been self-inflicted. So homegirl, do you want her to defend stupidity? Do you want her to defend blatant strategy? Do you want her to defend based blatant manipulation? What do you want her to defend, Lisa? Heather, you can lump Whitney in there too. I'm ready to clock all of them. That's what I thought about it. Like, don't sit around on a rock and hate and try to throw shade and hate on Meredith. For what? Why? Are you that bored? Do you not have a storyline to push other than, oh, let's talk about Meredith? Because this is the second time that Meredith and Meredith have been the topic of conversation, the second episode in a row, probably the third episode if you really want to go back, that they have been the source of the main tension in the group. So why the hell would they want to be on the bus with y'all? Why the hell would they even want to be here with y'all? I don't understand why they're there. They have a job to do, so yeah. But other than that, elf y'all. Period.
So my thought about this, yes to everything you're saying, but I think the way that Heather was coming at this, I don't think that she was like, Meredith sucks. Like, are you going to let her treat you like that? Like, I don't think that's what Heather was doing. Mm-hmm. I think what Heather was doing was really trying to give an olive branch to Lisa, actually, and mend her relationship with Lisa and be like, I see you on that. Like, I'm sorry that you're going through this, like, as a person. Like, I understand that you probably feel like you've been there for her. And I'm sorry that it never even crossed my mind to think of, like, has she been there for you? And I feel like for Heather, this was more about connecting with Lisa than it was shit-talking Meredith. But unfortunately for Lisa, oftentimes, like, with somebody like Heather, who, like, she hates, Evan pointed out that they have this big Mormon elephant in the room. Like, they can't connect over their families. Mm-hmm. Lisa's family looks completely different from Heather's family. They can't connect over religion. They can't connect over background. What are they going to connect over? Talking crap about somebody. So, like, I don't think Heather was like, all right, time for me to talk shit about Meredith. I think Heather was just like, the way that I can connect with Lisa in this moment is to say I see her and feel her, like, understand her feelings. And I think for Lisa, she just is Lisa Barlow, man.
Okay, I hear you on that. I think I hear you on that. I think Heather was just being messy, just being completely frank. And I get, you want to find a calm and like, okay, we both know Meredith. Let me try to formulate some type of connection to make, you know, us be somewhere. You know, I'm going to have to talk about Meredith. But like, you're being messy as hell. But can you tell me, and I don't know if you've seen Meredith not having Lisa back, but can you tell me on this season of this show that Meredith has not had Lisa's back in a way that you would want your friends to have your back? Because I'm honestly not seeing it.
I think that the thing is that Meredith has been the one who has been like Meredith feels like she has been like very, very hurt by Jen. And she's not been there when Jen has gone after Lisa. Like, I'm thinking of all the times that Jen has gone after Lisa, Meredith was not present. Like, in the car when Jen called Lisa and bitched her out after that Fresh Wolf thing. Like, on the bus, both times. Like, she's not been there when Jen has gone after Lisa. So for Meredith, she's like, I'm the one who's hurt. Like, what am I supposed, like, what are you talking about? I need to have your back. Like, you need to have my back. You're still hanging out with Jen and she's saying homophobic stuff about my family. But from Lisa's point of view, she's like, but Jen is like coming in between us. And I do think that like tonight in this episode, when Mary's at the table, like blatantly, like saying really hilarious, ridiculous things to Lisa, like Lisa, that is Lisa looking at Mary.
Were they ridiculous?
When I'm saying the ridiculous things of like, we'll get there, but like being okay, like you eat candy, like
and I was here for, and I was like, yes, read the scripture tour. I was like, period, absolutely. Your family needs nourishment,
sure.
But
you know what I mean? Like, that's when I saw what Lisa meant when she's literally looking at Meredith in the face, like, Meredith, seriously? And Meredith was just like, and like, not gonna, because I think that unfortunately Meredith has put herself in the situation where she's the Mary whisperer. So if Mary's like being rude to people completely unnecessarily, seemingly out of nowhere, like Meredith for sure, all the women view her as having the power to stop it. So for Lisa to be like, hello, like Mary's yelling at me, and for Lisa not to say anything to her, like, I do think in that moment Meredith could have looked at Mary and been like, Mary, like, we don't need to do this right now. You know, like, if I was in Lisa's position, I'm sure that that's what I would want. Do I think that it warranted what Lisa did after? Hell no. But like, I think, and also like, they've been in the group settings and Lisa has been, you know, like yelling and she's like, Meredith, come back. And Meredith's like, you've been screaming for the past, you know, like 20 minutes, which, is that a lie? No, but I think from Lisa's point of view, like, she was hurt by that because she saw it as like Meredith not having her back in front of the other girls. All the girls are coming at her and she's trying to defend herself. And then she's like, Meredith, hello. And Meredith's like, why are you screaming? Like, even though, because this is the thing, Meredith doesn't play. Meredith is the adult woman of the group. And Meredith is going to call out all of the behavior. She's going to say, "What, I don't like Jen, but the way you guys all just spoke to her, completely unacceptable. I love you, Lisa, but like, what the hell are you doing?" Like, she's not going to play. And Lisa wants her to play for her. Like, Lisa wants her to coddle her the way that Lisa will coddle every other friend in her life.
But has Lisa coddled every other, because when she said that statement, I wrote that down in my notes when she said that statement, because has Lisa coddled every friend that she, I feel like Lisa is a bad friend. I wouldn't want Lisa as my friend. I haven't seen Lisa cuddle, smuggle, kiss, hold tightly, feet rub a friend yet, besides her being just a regular friend. And she wants, she feels like she cuddles every friendship that she's in. Where? You were just friends with Jen Shaw. You didn't call her after she got arrested. That's cuddling your friend?
She called her 4 days later. She called her 4 days later.
Is that cuddling your friend?
Well, that,
is
no,
that cuddling
I'm,
her
but
friend?
I mean,
I haven't seen the receipts where Lisa has coddled her friends and where she expects.
Jen almost punched her in the face, and 5 minutes later, Lisa's giving her a hug, holding her while she's sobbing. Like, Meredith screams at everybody, and Lisa's sprinting after her to try to bring her back. Like, the thing is, Lisa, when I'm saying, like, coddling friends, it's like, in the moment, Lisa tells her friends, like, what they want to hear all the time. But, like, that's why you think Lisa's a bad friend, because she's, like, the yes man. She's, like, always telling friends what they want to hear and, like, trying to build them up in the moment and mm-hmm. only to do shady shit when they're not around.
My underpants are sweating about this.
Am I making you mad?
No, I'm just getting amped up because I'm so passionate about my love for Meredith and, like, my fanship. And I am hearing everything you're saying about Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I just don't like her. Maggie, I don't like her at all.
That's fine. That's like so her. Fine. You're completely allowed to not like her.
And my underpants are sweating.
But do you know what I mean when I say, like, she, like, coddling, perhaps is not the right word, but it's like, if you're with Lisa, Lisa's going to make you feel like you're her best friend in the entire world. When you're not with Lisa, she's going to probably talk some shit about you. But also, if you're with Lisa and you're not in her little inner circle, you get shit on, like Whitney and Heather. Like, Lisa is totally the type of person who, like, all her energy goes into, like, it's like very shallow friendship, I feel. But, like, I think Lisa in general is, like, perhaps a shallow person. But, like, Meredith is, I feel, the type of person who would call a friend and be like, hey, that behavior, like, I'm going to tell you the truth because I love you. Mm-hmm. That behavior blew. Like, I love you, but you can't talk to people that way. You can't do that with people. And I think that's what she does with Mary. She's just not going to embarrass Mary in front of everybody.
And yeah. I think that's what type of friend that because if my friend is, like, in public, getting into it with someone else, and, like, I'm around, I'm not going to be like, hey, I'm going to be like, hey, calm down. But when we are alone, I'm going to be like, hey, you were wrong for saying that. Like, I'm not going to say it publicly because I'm not going to give anyone else ammo to go against you and to try to cause more friction in our friendship. I'm going to put you to the side because I love you and do it that way.
But Lisa will never tell her friend that.
Never.
Like, even if she thinks that her friend was completely wrong in the moment, she's not going to speak up in the moment, and she's never going to pull them aside and be like, what were you doing? She is going to tell someone else, though, what was she doing? You know, and that's the main difference between them. Or she might just get caught on a microphone.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, so then I'm really glad we hashed that out. I feel like that was low-key like the elephant in the room in our relationship and our stand-up of each of these respective women. And let me make it very clear. I do not stan Lisa. I may have 3 episodes ago, but then I'm still really, really disappointed. And I will never forget the statement that she made about the Jenny posts that, like, really forever, I will always have a little asterisk next to Lisa Barlow for that. But, like, you gotta admit, you don't like her, but she's giving.
What else happened on the show, Maggie? You will not.
All right. All right. Mel, I hope that we have met your expectations so far with this episode.
Ciao.
Okay. So basically, like, then Heather and Lisa get into, like, was the memorial on Monday or Tuesday? Like, she's lying to one of us, which, like, I think that this storyline is the most classless, trashy BS in the entire universe. Hello. Yes. Have you, I mean, it was her freaking father. Like, it's not just one single event if you're flying somewhere for a memorial. Yes, you can have a big, beautiful memorial. Then you can have brunch with your closest mm-hmm. family. Then you yeah. can have lunch with your sisters. Like, there's so many things. If she's there for a weekend, like, what on earth? Like, to the point that Meredith, after this episode, was getting hate to the fact that she freaking posted her hotel accommodations to yeah. prove to people she was there Sydney. For the memorial. It's disgusting.
It actually is. And I think that's where I'm like, where is, and Lisa, like, she has not done anything that horrible to you to, like, I don't think she's mm-hmm. done anything horrible to you to make you even go to the point of questioning, oh, what was Meredith's intention on not coming to the trip? Far, y'all already did it a couple of episodes ago. Y'all already hashed it out. Y'all already got into the mm-hmm. argument. Wait, was that this? This was this trip y'all got into that. Oh my God, it seemed like so long ago we were talking about the trip on Zion. Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, this has been like a 6-episode trip.
No, literally. I'm like, why would you go so low in the gutter to just like continually talk about it mm-hmm. after she already discussed it last episode and you saw the trigger point that it had for her? Why would you continue and poke and poke and poke? Even if she's not there, y'all are still having the conversation. And then it gets picked up back tonight or that evening. And it's just very classless, like mm-hmm. you said, very desperate from both mm-hmm. parties. And it made me have a very disdain for both of those ladies, TBH.
I'm like, which I understand. Like that's where, like
in your
like
mind, the main reason that you're. These are sane women. These are like sane, mm-hmm. like smart. I imagine they're very lovely outside of the cameras. Like, I don't know them outside of the cameras. Let me imagine Lisa Barlow is mm-hmm. even probably lovely outside of the cameras. But I'm like,
I don't know. Mary on those Twitter spaces is always talking crap about Lisa Barlow.
Literally. Lisa may not. But I just imagine, like, after the cameras, because I know this is a show. So after the cameras go off, like, I just imagine, okay, these women are not kind of how messy they have to be on this show or how, like, different facets. But I'm like, you are still a person that has probably dealt with death to some capacity. And I could only imagine what losing like a father could be. And the fact that you're questioning one of y'all's friends on national mm-hmm. television about this is disgusting. Get a hobby, horrible. Get a job.
Yeah.
Like Heather, you have too many beauty labs to run. And Lisa, you have too many bottles to serve. And it's just not clicking to me. But, mm-hmm. you know. There it goes.
So, oh my God, we're literally not even through the first commercial break of the episode. So Jen and Whitney go ATVing and they basically have this same conversation, rehashing everything. Like they're talking about like if Meredith lied about her own father's memorial, what else could she lie about? Just like really insinuating, like you said, just like gross things. But I also wrote in my notes as like Jen and Whitney are sitting on this little cliff. I said, remember last season when Jen told Whitney she was going to drown her in the lake out back of her house? Good times.
Good times.
And now they're like times. Sitting on a cliffside together.
Literally. Imagine if Whitney remembered that and was like, oh, let me jump a pebble. So Jen,
yeah.
that would have been bad.
Let me back up a little bit. Whitney... In this conversation, I took it as Whitney, like, not so subtly, trying to get out of Jen. Like, were you hooking up with Meredith's boyfriend?
Yes. Like, last week, we saw the clip that Whitney was referring to when Whitney brought up in her confessional that she thinks the real reason why Jen and Meredith have beef is because they basically slept with the same man when Meredith wasn't with Seth and they were separated. And they did a flashback to the clip, and I didn't get Meredith confirming that at all. And the fact that Whitney is like, she brought it up last week, it had this theory about it, then brings it up to Jen being a married woman who has not alluded to her
and Sharif. Something. I know. I think this is something that they talk a lot about off camera, though, because Heather, remember when they went to Vail, Heather said at the dinner table, like when Jen got out of the Uber, she was like, I just thought she was going somewhere. And then she paused and she was like, somewhere where she didn't want me to know that she was, which I thought was like alluding to like Heather also thinks Jen is sleeping with other men.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I feel like this is an off-camera combo that, like, Whitney was being messy, trying to, like, insinuate to Jed, like, were you hooking up with Meredith's boyfriend?
Yeah, it's definitely. But Meredith kind of denounced that on Watch What Happens Live. And so she said she doesn't know who Jenna was dating. Her and Seth were broken up. You know, she dated a person or people, who knows. But she said that, to her knowledge, that is not true tea. So.
Well, of course, that's Meredith classy as always going to say, like, I don't know that that is true. She didn't say Jen is not having an affair with
someone. Yeah, she did not say
someone.
That.
Like, she didn't say any of that. She just said this very specific rumor I know is not true.
Yeah.
And, you know, the queen of class, but also shade.
No, I really, because we've seen Jen and Meredith hug it out last episode. And we saw them. Mm-hmm. I talked about them following each other back on Instagram. And I think when they shot the reunion, they left on okay or good terms. And so hopefully we get to see that relationship do something, you know, next season.
Yeah. So, okay. So then basically we move on to Mary, Jenny, and Meredith at the spa. So Mary says that she would never turn down a massage, even if that means she has to be with Jenny. And so Mary was fully dressed when they did the massage. What were your thoughts on that, Jacob?
I mean, I don't think it's weird. I think, like, if it, I don't think she was comfortable being completely nude with the camera there and
for
with like
sure,
someone that she didn't
sure.
know touching her. And so I didn't really, because when Jenny brought it up, she said, oh, it's weird that Mary is like not basically naked and she has a bathing suit on when we're getting in. I'm like, I think it's everyone's comfort level, you know?
Completely. And that's what I was going to say, too. I mean, it's just like funny, the idea that like Mary could like get up off the table and run away if she needed to. Like, that is very funny to me, because I could see Mary being like, I'm done with this, and like getting up and leaving or something. But like also, yeah, like, I mean, she runs a congregation, like she can't just be like, you know, she's going to be modest. She's a woman of a certain age. She's a mother.
Yeah, I feel like she's always dressed modest, too. I feel like we've never seen her in anything like salacious or anything. So I don't know. I think that was weird that Jenny pointed it out and was kind of like, oh, that's weird that she's doing this. I'm like, it's like, get a hobby and get a like, you just lost your job. Like,
I get a couple we got a couple tweets about this. We got a tweet from Anne that asked us, like, what were your like, she said that as a massage therapist, she always feels awkward if someone's comfort level and food includes full clothing, because she feels like she never does her best work if that happens. So I do understand that. I imagine if you are trained to do it, you know, on bare skin, but I just thought that it was very merry and very funny and quirky as always.
Yeah, definitely. I did too.
So then they go basically and like sit at like this nice little area. It's like the housewife's thing. Like, they always do the activity and then they sit in the little area and talk. And so they sit down and talk, and Meredith says that this group is a continuous bad game of telephone. And she like calls out Jenny basically and was like, I can't believe you told Jen about the private investigator. And Jenny's like, well, I'm sorry. Like, I didn't mean it, anything against you, as Mary's sitting there rolling her eyes. And Jenny tells Meredith that Dewey is refusing to go to couples therapy. Which, did you see that clip of Dewey?
I saw it, and I thought the same thought that came to me when he brought up Sister Wives: trash, tomatoes.
Yep.
Yeah.
I literally was just like, wow, I'm so glad we'll never have to see this man or this woman on our TV ever again.
Literally. Like, he's like, I'm like, Jenny always kind of talks about doing like a very loving way. And I'm just like, the clips that we've seen of him and their interaction, it definitely does not seem that way. And if it's problems in the marriage and your wife is coming to you saying like, hey, I want to do better in communication, I think we should go talk to someone. And then your response was, I could lie and say, yeah, but no, it's not going to happen. I've never done it before. I'm not going to do it.
What?
I'm like, okay. You obviously don't care. You don't care. So it's very evident. But I did find it dope that she opened up about that, which I was like, okay, good to know. I thought it was cool.
For sure. And then Jenny asks Mary about Robert Sr. And she's like, so have you, like, how are things with you and Robert Sr.? Have you talked to him? And Mary's like, oh, no, I don't want to talk about this with you. And Jenny was like, what? Why? She's like, well, I don't know you like that. And she gets up and leaves.
Maggie, I was living. I was living. I was living.
Icon behavior.
Because I'm just like, and it's honestly so true. If we were just beefed up, and you, and the thing is, you never know what these women are going to take to point against you at any point on this show, on these type of shows. Mm-hmm. And so I was with Mary, and like, y'all were just beefed up. You apologize, like, y'all at a neutral playing field, but like, you don't know this woman from like a can of paint, most people say, but like, you do know her because you've been around her. You have to work with her, but like, you don't want to get to know her. You don't know her. Mm-hmm. Why am I going to open up you to where my relationship has been scrutinized the most, one of the most on this show. And I don't want to talk about it, especially with you, a woman that I don't know, don't want to get to know and don't really like, well, not really like, don't like at all.
Yes.
And so I got where Mary was coming from, honestly.
Yeah. And you know, I think that, like, obviously, look, Mary Cosby could do 90% of things with more tact, okay? But that's not why we like her on the show, okay? Like, she's incredible TV because she completely lacks any and all tact. But, no, like, the sentiment, I totally agree with. But, like, the way she did it was just like, what?
I was still here for it. I was like, please. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. It's iconic behavior on a television show. Are you kidding? But I think that, like, if Jenny... I'm sure that for Mary, it was like, okay, so Jenny obviously knows about all this stuff with Robert Sr., about how everybody's always coming at me about this. I don't want to give her ammunition, like you said. Like, if Jenny had asked her, I think, more about her son, I feel like she would have been more open to talking about that. But I just think that, like, the fact that it was Robert Sr., like, Mary immediately was like, nope. I don't want to talk about this with you. I don't like to talk about him. You know what I mean? Because she just like knew that was not a safe topic. You know,
yeah, that's a pain point
for her.
That's an interesting point. I honestly don't see Mary even talking about her son with Jenny, TBH. I see that response being like the go-to response if Jenny asked her anything. And I'm here for it. So
speaking of Mary's son, when they get back, Mary calls her son on the phone to ask her opinion on what color dress she should wear, which already is weird.
I don't think that's weird. I mean, like, if you're like, if I don't know, I just, my mom like calls me about like just like stupid stuff just to hear my voice. I'm like, oh, what really should I wear? Not really wanting my opinion, but like just wanting to like say something. And so I didn't think it was weird because I knew people probably online were like, oh, why is she calling her son when she could be calling like her husband or one of her friends? And I'm like, she loves her son. She adores her son. I think she just wanted to hear from us. So I don't think it's weird.
All right. Well, I stand corrected.
I am a son. I'm not a son. So, you know.
So. Yeah, I was about to say, I'm not a son. So if you don't think it's weird, then I stand corrected. So, but then he's like peeing.
That's weird.
On the phone That's with her. Weird. And she says, are you urinating?
Yeah, he could have muted
it.
He could have muted it while he did that. That's the weird part in this whole conversation. That's the weird part. Yeah, I would never do that with my mom. I would just mute my phone, say, hold on, let me call you later, or yeah, hold on. But that and honestly, Maggie, I don't even let myself hear myself urinate. I turn on the faucet every time I go pee because I hate hearing myself.
Oh my gosh, like, you guys, Jacob was at my apartment and we finished recording the podcast and he looked at me and he was like, okay, I'm gonna go to the bathroom, I'm just gonna go pee, but I am gonna turn on the faucet because I don't like to hear it. And I think you were doing that to make sure that you were like, I'm not going to poop in your house. But you were like, I'm going to pee and turn on the faucet. I was like, please, by all means, do what you need to do.
Yeah,
I hate hearing
like the pee hit the wall. It's one of my biggest like cringe, like from anyone else. And also like going into a public restroom, I hate it just because you hear it. 12 people do it at once. You know what I mean? So like, I literally have headphones in every time I go in and I just have the sink on. It's a pet peeve of mine. So watching that scene, I definitely muted it. Well, that quick second that it was
you
on.
You were like, ugh. That's funny. Okay, so just one more thing I wanted to note before dinner. Lisa did get out of the car after horseback riding with a gigantic big gulp in her hand. Like a full, like 32 ounce, 64 ounce fountain pop. Like the full Monty. Like, I love it. You don't understand. I had to wean myself off of pop when I moved to New York, but I would get a McDonald's pop every single day.
Really?
For my whole life. Yes.
What flavor? Oh, really?
I would get Dr. Pepper. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. I was a Dr. Pepper girl through and through. It's probably why I had such bad stomach problems. Okay, so now they're doing a Cinco de Mayo dinner, and Jen comes downstairs in this really pretty red jumpsuit. I thought she looked very pretty. And she says this quote, which was great. She said, "In honor of Mary calling me a Mexican thug, I'm fully embracing that. 100%. And I'm hosting a Cinco de Mayo party. So viva Mexico. Let's do it."
I wonder if she told the ladies.
Sure.
Yeah. I wonder if she told the ladies that that's why.
I'm sure she told like Heather.
Okay. Yeah.
But I'm also not sure like if that's like kosher. But, you know, out of all the stuff Jen Shaw has done and said, like, I don't know. Somebody let me know if you if you think that that was all in good fun or a bit dark.
I did see a couple of tweets saying it was dark, but just a couple. But when I was watching it, I was like, Jen, get it together. Just let us know.
It's messy. Yeah, it's very messy.
On an already controversial season. So,
completely. I mean, like, how much more can you throw into this? Okay, so Meredith, before dinner, goes into Whitney's bedroom and sits on her bed and says that I need to know if Jen is paying for this dinner. And Whitney was like, "What?" And she was like, "Because Jen has told the government she has zero assets, which means she has no money. And I don't want to be a part of this dinner if it's being paid for with dirty money," basically, is what she's saying to Whitney.
I was here for it. I liked it. Like, honestly, I don't know if it would have crossed my mind because I'm probably not thinking like that. But if I'm Meredith and like the topic of Jen's imprisonment is like a hot topic, I'm going to want to know, hey, who's paying for this? You already, and the fact that Meredith knew that was like, come on, Meredith, like, were you doing your research on the case? She has like a Google
alert. That is messy as hell.
Very messy.
Whitney's like, I think the husband's paid for it.
And you could just see that Meredith was like 1000% serious in it too. She was like, wait, I'm not gonna go down there if like this is the reason. It's
well, like, clearly Jen doesn't have zero assets. She brought glam with her.
Yeah, so what's the truth in that then?
I don't know.
Is Jen like a
of course Jen's gonna report she has zero assets, like,
yeah,
and that's, she's like gonna say this is Sharif's money.
That's a stupid criminal, allegedly.
I mean, well, Jacob, we saw the photo of her leaving the clink clank.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, so basically, they go outside. There's the mariachi band. Heather's brought like really pretty flower crowns for everybody. Lisa's wearing this awful giant pink blazer that I did not think was becoming on her.
Oh, I actually liked it.
I thought it was too big. I thought the shoulder pads
gave me a little Janet Jackson moment, a little like Sue, a little like, you know, one of those.
If it had been a size smaller, I think I would have liked it more. Mm. So Jen gives little gifts to everybody, and it's the necklaces that she bought with Stuart. We get a flashback to good old Stuart and her buying those necklaces.
I didn't even remember that was him. I didn't even like, it didn't hit me that was him. Wow. Good eye, Maggie.
Oh yeah. That's Stuart. So Meredith accepts a gift, and Whitney's like, Meredith just said that she didn't want to come to dinner because it was going to be paid for with dirty money. And yet she's accepting this diamond necklace.
That part.
But, you know, I mean, I don't think she wanted to make a scene in front of everybody.
I think that's why she brought Whitney. She went into Whitney's room. She's like, hey, I want to talk to you about something. And also a caller on Watch What Happens Live did call in and ask Meredith, hey, do you think it was like a double standard of you accepting the gift but not wanting to go to the dinner that, you thought Jen was paying for? Mm-hmm. And she said that she gave the necklace when she got back home. She didn't feel right about it. So she gave the necklace to her lawyer. Her lawyer is still holding on to it just in case Jennifer Shaw is convicted, then she's like, they're going to return it for they're going to return it because it was bought allegedly with dirty money. So she said it's not with her. It's with her lawyer. And she's very thorough.
She is so funny. She is so funny. So then that's going to be so awkward if Jen is innocent for her to be like, oh, well, I wasn't sure if that was bought with dirty money, but I guess I'll keep it now.
Better be safe than sorry.
Wow. Okay, so Mary gets up to go inside to get warm because she's cold. And Whitney asks her to bring blankets out, and she just goes, no, and goes inside.
Mary, literally,
why are you even there?
No, Mary leaves these girls speechless after every moment. And she leaves me speechless too. Just the fact that she just said no with a straight up face and then walked off. I was like, but then.
Yes. And then, of course.
Of course, the girls start chirping. Of course, the women start opening their mouths and basically saying,
Jenny first.
Well, she can stay gone, and then Heather added on to it. And they were basically saying how rude Mary is. And then Jenny went on to say that her apology, when she apologized to Jenny, saying that, oh, Jenny didn't matter, that it was insincere. And all the girls, besides, I don't think Jen, all the girls kind of piled on, besides Jen and Meredith, piled on to the Mary slander when Mary got up and left, saying, what's wrong with her? We don't like her. Or not we don't like her, but, she's rude and she's nasty and whatnot. But Meredith had her back, which I really liked. She was just like, well, she's not here right now, so she's on her way back. Y'all can confront her and y'all can hear what she has to say, which I really loved. And I was here for that. I mean, I've always liked Mary and Meredith's relationship from the beginning. And so this made my heart very warm after a pissed off episode watched thus far.
I think that also there's something to that. That's the way that you treat a friend who you don't agree with their behavior. You don't explain it away to people. You're just talk to her when she comes back.
Yeah,
she's clearly not here. Mary has. Yeah. Clearly Mary is over the threshold for whatever reason with Meredith, where Meredith is a ride or die for her, you know? But that's all my closest friends. That's exactly how I'd handle it. Even if I knew they were in the wrong, which Meredith does, she knows that Mary's being rude and tactless. But if I knew they were in the wrong and everybody was saying stuff that I didn't disagree with and they asked me my opinion, I would say, well, she's coming back. So tell her,
period.
I'm not going to add to this, but I don't disagree. And I think that maybe this is something, that you could say to her and she could respond to,
And Meredith did even say that later on in the night after she got questioned so many times. So, yeah.
Yeah. So basically Mary gets back and this is where the night begins to
shift.
Sort of devolve. So Whitney is a shit stirrer and she looks at Mary and she goes, Mary, do you like Jenny? And she says, no. And Jenny says, well, I'm not trying to be rude to you. She thinks that, Mary's like, I'm not trying to be rude, Jenny, but I think you're rude. And I said that I don't think Mary's refusing to engage with Jenny is all that rude. I just think the way that she did it was rude, So Heather then chimes in because you have to remember that Heather was there in the kitchen when Mary was like, I don't like you. I'm not going to stand here with you. And I don't want to hear what you have to say. And she was like, what you say doesn't matter. When Mary said that to Jenny. So Heather chimes in. And so she's like, well, I think Mary, it's rude that you're not engaging with Jenny because, her husband pitched in for the trip too. All of the husbands paid for the trip. And Mary says, well, you don't have one, Heather, a husband. And Heather immediately chirps back. Why would you say that, Mary? Fuck you, Mary Cosby. who's your husband? It's your step granddaddy.
Which Now hearing you say it, it makes me laugh.
Oh, I had to pause the television. I was laughing so hard at both of these
Maggie.
Women. I was dying at the audacity of Mary to say that to another woman who she's friends with face, and the audacity of Heather to chirp right back and put on that little Southern accent and say, "Your step granddaddy."
Okay, Maggie, don't make me laugh at Heather. Like, please, like, don't make me, please. Because I didn't find it funny when it happened, but hearing you put that accent and twang on it,
I'm That's what she did! That's what she did!
So, Maggie's, Maggie, I do not want to laugh at anything Heather says, so please stop. Okay.
I'm sorry. It was but, really good but, though. Like, I rewound it and watched it twice.
I didn't. So when I first watched it, I was like, okay, Mary, you didn't have to. You shouldn't have to say it. Oh, you're not even Mary. Like, what are you? But I like, if you can understand, like, what she was saying, what's the point of Heather? Why are you bringing up the fact that Jenny's husband paid? Like, I don't care. Like, why are you bringing up the fact that, like, that happened? And her trying to put it like, well, you don't have a husband, so you didn't have no one pay for you. So you should, in a way that Heather brought it to Mary was, you should be nice to her because her husband paid. Like, why are you being like rude to her because her husband paid?
Yes, we all understand what Mary was getting at, but she just had the audacity to say, well, you don't have one, Heather, a husband. Like, what?
Maggie, see, when I first watched it, this wasn't that funny to me, but now it is.
I'm going to miss Mary so much. I'm going to miss her so much.
Because even
the thing is,
me going back and listening, what?
If Heather was in this Zoom call right now, she would be dying laughing with us. She would also find this to be hilarious.
She would. She definitely would. I mean, now hearing her.
The girls that get it, get it. And the girls that don't.
But the fact that, like, you made this whole scene, that interaction, funny to me. Because when I watched it, I was very like, Heather, that's so season one. Like, come on, y'all got all this dirt on Mary and her church. Like, bring up something like that. Like, don't go back. Let's not bring up that storyline, because that hasn't been a storyline this entire season. That's when I first watched it. But now it is a little comical now hearing you.
But it's like, Heather's like, oh, you want to compare husbands? I would rather not have one than marry my step-granddaddy.
Maggie, stop saying it like step granddaddy.
See, like, I don't know why no one was talking about this moment. Like, I searched through the Housewives hashtag. Nobody was talking about this.
Maggie, can you do it one more time? What did Heather say to Mary? What did Heather say to Mary?
She said, why would you say that, Mary? Fuck you, Mary Cosby. Who's your husband? It's your step-granddaddy.
You know that movie Holes? The little girl?
I don't want to dig anymore, Grandpa.
It's too damn bad.
I'm tired.
Oh my god, okay, I needed that.
All right, so I'm glad that you've seen the light and you understand how genuinely hilarious that is. Okay, so then this really gross moment happens that I don't really want to go over, where Jenny's like, why don't you like me, Mary? And I was like, well, bad vibes all around. Bad vibes. So then Lisa, like, as Mary is, like, going after people, Lisa looks at Meredith, basically, like, as though she is a 9-year-old child. Like, yes. This was my whole take. And look, I love Lisa Barlow, okay? This is my take on the whole thing. As Mary is fighting, Lisa's looking at Meredith like Meredith is her child. And she even says, this is not kind to Meredith. So then, like, she's trying to be like, hello, Meredith, are you gonna tell her to stop the way that you told me to stop screaming? Like, that's what Lisa's upset about. The last time they were together and everybody was fighting, Meredith was like, you've been screaming for hours. And Lisa's like, oh, you're not gonna call out Mary, you're only gonna call out me? Okay. So Then Jen starts going after Lisa because she can see that Lisa is trying to talk to Meredith. So then Jen starts biting at Lisa and she's like, you know, you're being inconsistent. You're being inconsistent. So then Lisa says that she's sick of emotionally coddling two grown women and that she's in this cycle of abuse with Mary. And that is when Mary Cosby starts saying, you know what, Lisa, just eat your candy. Lisa, eat candy. Eat candy and Taco Bell.
Mary was reading her. Mary was reading her. Mary was reading her. Eat candy and Taco Bell. And the fact that Mary Cosby brought up the fact that you feed your kids Taco Bell, all these fast food places, your kids and your husband need nourishment. They need nourishment. I was like,
you think that Lisa only gives her kids gummy worms at Taco Bell, Mary?
Honestly, though.
She, in her confessional, she's like, I say that because it shows she has no depth. And I like love the fact that like she thinks that Lisa is like trailer trash because she eats Taco Bell.
No TVA. That she said all fast. She was like, all she eats is fast food. Like she has, it just shows that she has no depth. But then I did like the fact that Lisa did say, I like fast food and I like fine dining. I can do both. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
we have a versatile queen on our hands.
the duality of Lisa Barlow. So again, Lisa looks at Meredith and is like, hello. And I wrote, like, I do get that. Like she's basically looking at Meredith and being like, help, please help. And Lisa says to Mary, like, your apologies are fake. Your church is fake. Everything about you is fake. And this, to me, was the quote of the episode. Lisa really loudly and really proudly proclaims, Lisa Barlow is an amazing human being.
A self-fulfilling prophecy right there. That is...
what?
That's going to be written on her tombstone. That's going to be written on her tombstone.
Lisa, I love you for moments like this. Just like completely, like, I quote tweeted the Queens of Bravo tweet that said, like, she just gets to me and it's her saying, I love Taco Bell. I love Taco Bell. And I also love fine dining. And I quote tweeted it and said, Lisa Barlow is an amazing human being. Lisa Barlow.
Oh, is
in
that...
parentheses, Zion 2021. Yes, I was quoting her about herself.
Okay, I have Queens of Bravo muted.
Oh, why? For spoilers?
No. Just my own personal preference.
Don't be shady.
Just my own...
Don't be
what
shady.
Do you mean?
They follow me.
Oh my gosh.
They follow me.
Do they? Basically
no,
for...
No, they don't.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just for personal reasons.
All right. I don't want to get in a beef with Queens of Bravo. I like their content.
I'm joking. I'm completely joking, by the way.
So Mary says to Lisa, like, I never, like, you'll never come to my church. And Lisa's like, I don't want to go to your church. And then Jenny and Mary start to get into it. And then Mary looks at Whitney and says, like, because then Whitney is like, What's going on? And Mary's like, well, Whitney, the way that you hang upside down on a pole, you shouldn't be talking to me. And then Mary in her confessional is just like, they're not nice to me. Which, like, sure, Mary. But also, tact level.
You don't make it easy for them, like, safely.
Yes, like, I love you so much, Mary Cosby, but like,
yeah,
you know.
So
like, look at all the horrid things she said to these women tonight.
So I have thoughts going back up to when Meredith and when Lisa turned to Meredith and was like, Meredith, this is not kind. This is very rude. And you make that point of when they were at the pho dinner.
Yeah,
pho. The fact that Meredith said, you've been screaming for 2 hours, and Lisa kind of took offense to that. And she wanted, like, hey, you're going to call out me, call out the rest of these, call out Mary also. But I don't think that was necessarily a call out when Meredith did that, because if I'm remembering the type of interaction that they had, Meredith was getting into it with someone, or just it got very tense or whatever the case may be. I don't know if Meredith got into a fight during that dinner. I think she did. Mary got into a fight. I think Meredith got into a fight. Yes, I believe they kind of all tussled. Meredith was getting up to leave, and then Lisa was in her face. And that was like, I don't think that was a call. Like, I'm not calling you out. I'm basically saying, you've been yelling for 2 hours. Like, what do you want? Like, I don't feel like that was like mean-spirited or just like, I don't think that was anything. And so for Lisa to take that, if she did take that as a, oh, you like don't
absolutely
have my back,
I think she did.
You're condemning me for that. But I'm like, you were this woman, like she was she just got into an argument or a tense moment and she's trying to walk away and you're like, no, you stay. And you've been yelling for 2 hours. Your friend is telling you that. Like, I don't see that and Meredith being like, Mary, you need to stop yelling, that being the same thing. The fact that Meredith told Lisa you've been yelling for 2 hours, and the fact that if Meredith did tell Mary, yo, you're out of line, you need to stop, I don't think those are the same things, because just based off of the situation. And the fact that was Mary being rude? Yeah, Mary's being rude. But I don't think it's out of line in a way for how her relationship is with these women, for them to expect her to be nice to them after they've dug up so much stuff about Mary, after they've done, you know, and it goes both ways. But I'm saying, don't expect someone to be, oh, gracious to you or, you know, nice to you or loving to you when, like, I mean, you can expect it, but I just don't think it's plausible, because you know your relationship with this woman. You know how she feels about you. So, like, don't expect really anything more. And the fact that Mary did say, well, I don't even feel like we're real friends, besides her and Meredith, I think was very telling, because that's why she interacts with Meredith the way she does. And, and Lisa saying, oh, she's like been like, I love the fact that, Mary was like reading all the girls from, and you know, they gave it to her back. They weren't backing down as well. They gave it to her back. But one thing that did annoy me is how when Mary gets mad or when Mary gets angry, they love to like, and they did it this episode, and they say, like, well, this isn't what a woman of God should be doing. This isn't what a preacher should be doing. This isn't like you're treating us this way. It's not very like love. Didn't God like love everyone? And it's like, and as I feel like, I think Mary has a Presbyterian church, if I'm not mistaken. And it's kind of like, yo, Mary, you are kind of held to a different standard by being a preacher of a church. But I still feel as though your actions are, you're still a human. And I don't think you are higher than any of these women to act out of emotion like you have been. And the fact that they can and you can't say the same thing to them saying,
well,
oh,
that's what she was trying to say.
Yeah. And she did say it. Yeah. And so I just really don't like that, because they're like using that situation. Oh, Mary, you should be like more loving. But y'all haven't been loving towards Mary either. So like what? Like, it's just don't expect, oh, this woman to give you the world and kiss your feet and be kind to you. Like, it's been disrespect both ways. Yeah, one of the parties has to be more grown, but we don't have that right now, and we have disrespect flying, and you know, I'm okay with that.
So yes, and I think that at the end of the day, whatever rift there is between Lisa and Meredith, I actually don't really care about like why or who like is in the right or in the wrong about it, because like whatever rift is there, in no way justifies what Lisa does at the end of this episode. Like, in order to go on a tirade like that, you seriously, like, there would have had to have been like a true horrific thing. That's someone who I thought was my, like, a true betrayal. If Meredith had an affair with her husband,
yes,
I think that that would mean that tirade could happen. But because of whatever happened, like, we're not there yet. And I don't want to jump, because there is two more things that I do want to say, but basically, like, Mary says that Meredith is their only real friend, because when they get together, they don't sit down and talk shit about everybody else. They just talk about what's going on with them. And I truly believe that.
I do too.
And as we've seen in this whole episode, that is not what happens with the other women.
Oh, absolutely.
They get together and they talk shit about whoever's not there. And so I think that Mary is just like, you guys are fake. Meredith actually cares about me. I know when she's with me, she's not talking shit about you guys. So I assume when I'm not there, she's not talking shit about me. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, that's all. So then basically.
Wait, can I say one more thing? So also, absolutely. Lisa was saying during this whole thing, when you did that beautiful, what's going to be written on Lisa Barlow's tombstone, I'm an amazing person, whatever she said. She was also saying, oh, you can't call my character into question. I'm a great friend to all of my friends. And I'm like, the caterer situation, the shady ish you were doing with that's the rift between you and Heather and like you and Heather and you and Whitney, like, and your relationship with Jan, like you cannot say, and now we see your relationship, what you said about Meredith. So like, I feel like Lisa Barlow, your character can definitely come into question, should definitely come into question, because you have done some, I feel like some of the most shadiest stuff, you know, besides Jen, allegedly, on this show. And I think you should have a question mark on your name. Definitely.
Well, for sure, after the end of this episode, where basically Lisa says in her confessional, you know, Meredith turns a blind eye to the way people treat me, but one word about Mary and Meredith defends her at all costs. So she starts sobbing and leaves the table. She's caught on a hot mic. You said that you don't want to call it a hot mic.
Because so it was something was came out in where Lisa commented, and she said that she already had the mic off and that she was allegedly quitting, mm-hmm. and that it was a boom mic, but it was still a person from production in her room. If you saw the door open up and you saw that man standing there.
So that's why it's a hot mic though. That's why they call it a hot mic, because she didn't know she was being recorded. They always call it a hot mic when someone thinks they're not being recorded.
She said they had a boom mic holding it.
But it's not her microphone. If she was trying to quit, she did not think that this was going to make it in the show. She had her personal microphone off. She's not on camera. She for sure did not think. It's like when Billy Bush and Trump, the grab him by the pussy thing happened. That was a hot mic because they were mic'd up for the show, but they weren't recording. They didn't realize they were recording. So that's why they call it a hot mic.
So you,
that's just the terminology. Because yes. So I think that Lisa, there's no way she thought this was going to make it on the show because they're not recording her face. She took off her personal mic, which Whitney has said, you know, when Jen told them to turn off her mic, when she got the call that she was going to, the FBI was coming, she asked Whitney to turn off her mic. And Whitney was like, you never do that. Like, you never turn off your mic unless it's the end of filming. So like, if she was taking off her stuff, like, I do not think that she thought this was going to be the end.
So, but she still said it in a room with other people. And so,
I mean, I think that we're going to get this really, we can break this down at the reunion once she's had time to speak for herself and see what we think.
And that's also going
to
be the first time.
Would you like me to read the full?
Yeah, read the full transcript.
Okay, ready? I'm going to do a dramatic reenactment. Meredith can go fuck herself. I'm done with her. Because I'm not a fucking whore and I don't cheat on my husband. Her and her dumb fucking family that poses. Why don't you own a house? Wait, you can't because your husband changes jobs every 5 minutes? Fake Meredith is a piece of shit. I have your back. I'm offended by that. Fuck you. That fucking piece of shit garbage whore. I fucking hate her. She's a whore. She's fucked half of New York. She can go fuck herself. And then she opens the door to her room, throws her mic pack in the producer's face and says, here, you can have your mic back.
Disgusting.
What?
Disgusting. It's
like I said, literally, this only would make sense if she found out Meredith was sleeping with her husband. Like, that is the level of what Meredith would have to do for me to be like, you know, I understand the heat of the moment. What? Where did this come from?
Friendship of 10 years.
How are you saying this kind of thing about your best friend of 10 years?
It was disgusting. Like, I'm
like,
it's like, and I was starting to like Lisa Barlow, like, and I said this on the pod, mm-hmm. and the fact that you was friends with this, with Meredith for 10 years, and you're letting this small of an incident, and people aren't Lisa defenders. Oh, she was fed up. It was time for her to pop off. Oh, you're fed up, so it's time for you to go after someone's family, go after someone's mm-hmm. husband, go after their life.
No, you
after,
don't do that.
After
no.
Probably Meredith has confided in you about several different things, after you don't want to mm-hmm. be friends, so you're going to air it all out. And also the fact that Meredith didn't even know that she said that until watched the entire show.
That's why I think that there's no way Lisa thought she was being recorded, because Lisa, if we know one thing about Lisa Barlow, it's she wants to get in front of a story. So I do not think Lisa had any idea this was going to be on the show.
And
the,
like, so we're basically not going to hear about this, I don't think. Well, we're not going to have a conversation between
at the reunion.
I mean, at the reunion, but I'm talking about while there's, and we have like a mm-hmm. couple episodes left, but like as they're filming, we're not going to hear about it because mm-hmm. Lisa's not going to own up to it. She's not going to say, well, I said this. She's not going to say it to anyone's face, probably Meredith's face. And we're so at the reunion, the first time we're going to get the end of what this whole thing was. Lisa, it was just very like, And I think Lisa could be a very lovely woman, honestly. But that was very like trash behavior, traitor behavior, not a good, like despicable, honestly, trash.
I just like can't believe like that she would say these things about someone who was her best friend of 10 years. Like, I don't think these things about anybody who is my close friend, like at all, ever. Like my best friends, you would never, ever catch me saying a single one of the things that Lisa said about Meredith. Like, to go, like you said, calling her a whore, like even as a woman, whore. I'm like deeply offended by that, first off. And like, you know what? I think it's really, really horrible that these women still bring up like that Meredith was like sleeping with other people when Meredith has said straight up that her and Seth were separated.
Yes.
And that they were both seeing other people and they both knew that and they've reconciled and come together. Like, why are women still using that as though it's against her character when like she went through a separation period with her husband? Like, everybody was a consenting adult. Mm-hmm. There was no deception that happened. Like, I don't understand. Like, she called her, she said that she fucked half of New York.
Like, congrats, Meredith. I'm happy for you. If you date that, please.
As you should when literally. You separated from your weird, gross husband. Yeah.
That part. But also, it just didn't make sense. And I know Maggie, I saw it. I saw the hype mic of what it was alleged online. And then you sent it to me. And when I was reading it, I was like, if she said, I didn't believe it when I first read it. I was like, okay, this has to be like some exaggerations, but no, it was kind of word for word what she said. And it took me by surprise about Lisa Barlow's character, because I never thought, oh, Lisa Barlow's the most upstanding person. But the fact that like she went so low down in the gutter to say that about her best friend. Mm-hmm. It's like Lisa Barlow, even if Meredith does forgive her, and that's why I don't want to say that this, like, it can be iconic for
she'll never forget.
Oh,
though.
Absolutely not. And now I was about to say, even if Meredith like forgives, I probably won't forgive. Even though I have no stake in this, I probably will never forgive Lisa Barlow for that. And that's why, like, is it a prominent thing this season that happened? I wish it happened kind of in the middle so we can kind of see the fallout on camera about it and not just at the reunion. But
it's going to be the full storyline for season 3, though, the start.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I cannot, because Meredith said, like, she came to that reunion. She didn't talk, like, the day before she went to go film the reunion. She saw that. The day. But could you imagine that? Like, you're thinking she made the birthday post about homegirl.
Heartbroken.
Like, like they probably been, like, jawling. She didn't know any of that. And then you see that a day before you're supposed to see this girl. Like, how do you act? Besides, child, I don't know, Maggie. I don't know.
I mean, who knows? Maybe they could get back to a good place. No. Heather's still out there defending Jen when she called her a manatee. Yeah.
How? Now they sister bops. But yeah, it was Lisa Barlow.
I know.
You better, babe.
So, okay. I just want to say, so where we leave the episode is that Whitney asks Meredith if she really had a memorial for her father. And Meredith gets really intense. Gosh. And Whitney looks scared. I was like, Whitney, wipe that look off your face. If you're going to ask an offensive question like that, you better be ready for the person to be offended.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm so glad that Meredith bit back like that. I'm so happy about that.
As would I. Yeah. If my father had died and people were like, was there really a memorial? I would be like, you're literally the worst people I've ever been with in my entire life.
And this is like the third time she's had to talk about this. The third time. She got up from the table because she didn't want to talk about it. And Whitney followed her in, or they probably all went in, and she asked her again. I'm like, how much red wine do you have to have in order to deliver that type of line and with the conviction of a straight face? That's wild to me.
Oh, man. Are we done? Should we do tea time?
Yeah, let's do tea time. Hold on.
Okay. Perfect. We both have water bottles with straws, so that might have been a little weak tea time for me.
Mine just has a little tube. Mm. A little nub.
Okay. I'm not engaging. I am disengaging from that. So, Meredith was on Watch What Happens Live, and it does appear as though there has been some slight work done in between the seasons. We did get a tweet about that also. I think that, you know, she can do what she wants. Who cares? She, whatever. She looks good. She seems happy with it. Her face maybe isn't moving as much, but when did Meredith's face move much in the first place? That's my thought.
No, I saw the tweet as well. I thought Meredith looked good on Watch What Happens Live. It's obviously, you can see some work has been done.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of like, hey, whatever you think makes you look the most beautiful, however make you like more confident, I'm for it.
I'm sorry. Are we going to judge Meredith when Heather literally owns a business called Beauty Lab that is injections? Like, no.
Do you think she got it from Heather?
No, I think that she got, I mean, I don't know much about procedures, but like, to me, it looked like she got a full facelift. Like, it didn't look like injections.
I didn't really look at it that hard, TBH, but I mean, you could see it.
But like, either way, you know, whatever. All these women on these shows want to look fresh. Yeah. So I'm not really that bothered by it. Whatever. I think leave these women alone. They can do what they want with their bodies. So she was on Watch What Happens Live and Andy was asking her about the Lisa hot mic moment. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, like, he was like, did you have any idea she said that? And she was like, no, I don't know why she would say that. And he asked her about, you know, like, did you really have sex with Hav of New York? And Meredith was like, I mean, I haven't even had sex with, like, she's like, there's not even a possibility that I could have hooked up with like even 10 people in my life, you know? And she was like, maybe Lisa's projecting. And then he was like, well, what about that? She said, your family that poses. And she was like, again, maybe she's projecting. She's always posting photos of her family on Instagram. I'm not sure. And like, she absolutely did it in like the most brutal way, but in a way that like she maintained her dignity. Yeah. That I was like, you go, Meredith. Like, if somebody, someone who I thought was my best friend of 10 years said stuff like that about me on national television, I would not be able to talk about it with poise and like without getting emotional.
No, I'm dragging them.
And she just really, she didn't go low down. She dragged, but she dragged with poise.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
As Meredith oftentimes does.
Yeah. And it looks like Angie is hanging out with Heather, Jen, and Whitney. Angie Sarah Paulson, ex-friend of Lisa Barlow. They're hanging out, and they said the producers weren't there. I saw this tweet, but I do think that Angie is going to be the housewife on this next season. If they're like actively looking for replacements, they lost Mary, they lost Jenny, they may lose Jen. Like, they're going to need some people to come in, and Angie brought it as a friend of.
If she is there to take down Lisa Barlow, I'm for it. Bring her up. But make sure you do a deep dive. Make sure you do a deep dive of Angie's social media before you do this. And life, just period. But yeah.
Doesn't she have a trans child? And like, hopefully that means that she's more, you know.
I mean, we saw a POC. That's what I said at the top. We said we saw a POC come on the show, and the producer probably like, oh, well, you know, she's a POC, so I don't think she'll make that, you know, any kind of controversial.
Yeah, do due diligence. Yes,
do that.
Due diligence.
Absolutely.
Yeah, wow. So who knows? Maybe we'll see Angie. Maybe we'll see some other women.
I'm really excited for this because after we saw Mary didn't come, I was kind of like, what is the reunion going to be? But now that we have Meredith, like, I'm honestly, Meredith's performance thus far, I honestly think, I know Jan gets first seat, but I honestly think that Lisa and Meredith could easily do that first seat, do the first seat by Andy, like each have their first seat. And I like, I know Jen, she did a lot, but like, I feel like,
well, Jen got literally arrested. So I do think Jen gets
it. I think she gets it, but I think like Meredith has been like, I have like loved just the entertainment value that Meredith has added to season two of Salt Lake City. And I think she has,
I think Lisa gets first seat, and I think Meredith is sitting next to
Lisa. Because they were good up until like a day before the reunion. So they already had the seating charts made, probably. Mm-hmm. Chai, no, not Chai.
Oh my God. I can't wait for Meredith to be like, I was repulsed.
No, literally.
Okay. Jacob, do you have anything else you want to add?
I think Lisa tomatoes, Whitney tomatoes, Heather tomatoes, Jen. No, whatever. Jenny, tomatoes, tomatoes, tomatoes. Yeah. That's all.
I think that we really talked out a lot that needed to be talked out between the two of us.
We did.
And both of us have agreed to disagree, but mostly agree, yeah. though. Like, we, like, agreed to disagree, but also, like, I agree with you. Like, what Lisa said is so out of line and unforgivable. Like, what on earth? You know?
Literally.
But... Jacob, where can people find you?
People can find me at Jacob J. Jones. Wait, Jacob J. underscore Jones on all social medias. And yeah, I'm trying to think, what else? Do I have anything going on? I don't think so. Maggie, where can people find you?
Yeah, people can find me on Instagram and TikTok at ML Morgan underscore. And you guys can find me on Twitter at underscore ML Morgan. And, Big Brother Celebrity is coming back, and I know Jacob and I will probably
yes.
both be
I'm actually on
doing
Thursday,
some coverage of that.
Thursday live feeds.
Oh, great. Yeah. So, yeah. So, listen to Jacob Thursday for live feeds. I will be there. Oh, my gosh. You have, like, the first night of feeds.
I'm super excited.
That's intense.
But the celebrities That's tend intense. To fall asleep really early. And I feel like
so they might not even be awake.
Probably like, but they're in California time, so I'm in 3 hours difference.
Oh, yeah.
And so, yeah. But so I'm excited.
Oh, man, you're going to have to parse out who's with who. I'm going to be texting you, trying to figure it out, too.
I just let Taryn drive it, and I just assist.
Oh, I can't wait. All right. Thank you guys so much for listening to us. We'll see you next week.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.